AIMS Ireland, which is the Association for Improvements in the Maternity Services, is a non-profit voluntary organisation, and we do not take any funding from the HSE, so we're 100% independent. For example, the organisation that was involved in the primetime programme, Patient Focus, and some of the other organisations would receive payments by the HSE to support their ongoing work. So we don't, and so we would tend to be able to be very forthright and to bring up issues that are brought to us. And we would have maybe about communication with about 3,000 women at any one time through various aspects of social media. And we would also get one-to-one calls that come in regularly, maybe up to 100 calls a week in a quiet time. If there's an issue like this, the number of calls will rise dramatically. And these are women that are seeking support, usually based on poor experiences. And one of the things that was spoken about was the fact that parents were not given the full information. In one case, I believe parents were actively lied to, and that's very unhelpful in any healthcare setting. And then the other issue would be the fact that the recommendations that had been made were not acted upon, and that those recommendations were not publicly known. So you have several levels, I suppose, of a lack of transparency. So that would be one of the issues that I would take from it. The second issue would be about the type of obstetric care that's going on in Portlaoise. That obviously there are issues associated with the overuse of certain interventions. And then the third question that I would have would be about resources in general.
When you talk about the overuse of certain interventions, what are you talking about?
Well, I think what came over particularly in the programme yesterday, in that primetime programme, was the overuse of syntocin, which is a synthetic chemical hormone that enables women's uteruses to contract much faster than they would otherwise do. And some babies are very happy with that, they can cope with that, but many babies actually end up being put into distress by the overuse of that synthetic hormone. So that would be one intervention. And then the second intervention, which sometimes is not regarded as an intervention, would be the use of continuous fetal monitoring as a substitute for continuous one-to-one midwifery care.
What can we do to give women a crucial voice in the whole childbirth process?
Well, that's a kind of Pandora's box question, because I think women don't have a particularly strong voice in maternity care. One of the reasons that they don't have it is women are not, they're not aware of the choices, such as they are, and we don't have great choices in Ireland. They're not aware of the choices that are available to them. Women are not aware of the fact that they can challenge certain decisions or options of care as presented to them. And I think also that whether we like it or not, many women go into the whole pregnancy and labor process feeling somewhat fearful and a little bit frightened of the unknownness of the process. You know, if you've had a baby before, you kind of have some idea of what you're dealing with. If it's your first baby, you really are very much are at the mercy of those that are taking care of you. So I think women are very trusting, and rightly so, of their care providers. There has to be an element of trust there. And in many respects, I think women hand over a lot of responsibility. And trying to get a better voice would really, I suppose, be a result of more antenatal education, being aware of your rights, knowing the types of questions to ask, being aware of what's evidence-based practice and what isn't. And I suppose a lot of those are about education.
Is it because it's a very vulnerable time in a woman's life and you tend to, you know, hand it over, as you said, to somebody else? Unless you have a strong advocate with you, it's very, very difficult to challenge the medical institutions when you're lying on your back, particularly when you're in labour.
Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head there. When somebody is unwell in any context and dealing with a healthcare professional, it can be very difficult to challenge medical experts and medical opinions, especially in this country where we give a lot of credence and a lot of power to the medical profession. When you're in labor, when you're pregnant, you're actually not unwell, you're in the fullness of your health. But quite often, women who are pregnant or are in labor, all of which is a natural physiological process, tend to be treated as if they were sick. So they tend to fall into this doctor knows best because doctor knows how to deal with me mindset. And you kind of have this, it's a very difficult thing for a woman to do because on the one hand, you're in a very vulnerable situation. And so you want to achieve the best care for you and for your baby. So it's actually quite difficult to challenge somebody who you think is going to provide you with care. So often, for example, women will report that whilst they may feel uncomfortable about a certain procedure happening, they kind of don't want to say too much because they feel that it might put them in a position where worse things might happen to them or might happen to them and their baby. And you see that a lot for women who are, for example, in a postnatal situation. They may have had a very difficult birthing situation, but they actually don't complain at that point in time because they're still being cared for by the professionals that they want to complain about. You can't sort of blame women, really, because, you know, ultimately you have to trust the person that's looking after you in order to birth a baby. And so it's much easier at the time often for women, I think, to believe that everything that they're being told is the truth and to go along with that. And that's why I think so many times we hear that there are very high postnatal depression rates in Ireland, because it's only afterwards that women go over their story and reassess exactly what happened to them. And I think that you have to look at measurements for what is deemed to be an okay birth experience or a good birth experience. You know, how do we measure a good birth experience? So the ideal clinical outcome, of course, is that the mother is healthy, that there's been nothing untoward that's happened to the mother, that the mother is alive and well, and that the baby is healthy, that there's been nothing untoward that's happened to the baby, that the baby is well and has gone through birth and is feeding well and is responding well and has a good ACBOS score. And those tend to be our two definitions. But what, of course, is missing in all of that is what the mother has gone through emotionally. How was the mother physically? Maybe she's suffering from a tear that she had. Maybe she's suffering from an episiotomy. Maybe somebody said something that was inappropriate to her. Maybe she had vaginal exams that were given to her without her consent. This can be a massive issue for women who have suffered sexual abuse. So all of these things kind of fit together into a tapestry that will make up a woman's experience. And whether she feels well and she is well emotionally and physically is very much tied up to what happened in addition to the fact that she is alive and her baby is alive.